So I appreciate this church and the families that are here. And this morning, I'm talking about putting on a new wardrobe, making a fashion statement for 2017. And you'll understand why I'm saying that. If you turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 to 14, I hope it's 2. I think it might be 3. It's written wrong there. It's chapter 3, verse 12. Sorry, to ignore what's... Yeah, this is correct. It says, let's read it together. You can follow along. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved... He's already assuming that, okay? I'll come back to it and preach it in a minute. But just remember that. As God's chosen people, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievance you may have against the other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So the picture is of someone putting on a new set of garments, putting on a new wardrobe. And he starts from the place, he says, as beloved. He says, therefore. Just notice the first word. Remember when you see the word therefore, you're supposed to ask, what's it there for? And if you go back in the chapter, he's explained. He says, since you have been raised with Christ and you've set your mind on things which are above, he says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly and worldly things. And, rid yourselves in verse 8 and take off your old self and put on the new self. So he's assuming they've understood this thing. And before I start talking about putting on this new wardrobe and clothing ourselves with a new look for 2017, it's important that we deal with the old look, the old man, because we just don't want to cover up all the garbage from last year and all the rubbish in our life, and we all have quite a bit of baggage. We want to actually deal with it in God's grace and God's favor and allow him to work from the inside out of us. And then Paul says, therefore, because you are these holy, beloved children of God, you stand in faith. You are that because Christ declares that over your life, because you have faith in God. It's not something you've worked for. It's not something that you deserve, because none of us do. But because you've been clothed in Christ and you've put off this old man and you've put on the new and you have a new spirit within you, you are a new creation in Christ by faith. That's what salvation is all about. Sometimes we don't feel it. Sometimes we don't think a lot about it. We don't talk a lot about it. But we are, and we celebrate it even in the singing we are singing today. But then he says, because of that, therefore, clothe yourself. And he starts listing some sweet clothing that we should put on, some new wardrobe for this year. So I want to talk about them for a minute. But before we get to them, could you just put up the next slide? There's about, if you want to do a word study, just type in put off or get rid of or die to into your Google machine, and you'll just see the scriptures just start coming in. And this is sort of where Paul starts in this chapter. And there's many, 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 many verses. I've only put a few up here. And I'd just like to read a couple of them about what he says about putting off first. Take off, undress, put aside, and he says this, Ephesians 4, verse 2, you can follow along if you want. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Hebrews 12, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance. I cannot ever read that verse without remembering Nicole. Lord bless her and Brad and Ben. They're getting on the plane right now to fly to South Africa. I feel so sorry for all these people. I wished I had the lifestyle of my kids and my grandkids. No, bless them. May they enjoy it. But I can't ever read this verse remembering Nicole in grade 3 in Evansburg. We were back in Canada on a furlough from Tanzania, and she got into the cross-country running for that season. It's the only year that she ever spent in Canada in school, and it was cross country, and so she got into it. She didn't like it, and she started winning. Little skinny kid running. I guess it's the Africa genes. You just enjoy running, being outside, and she started winning. But one of the races, she shows up with cowboy boots on, and we're like, "Hun, what are you doing? You can't run." And no, but I have nothing else. No, and she runs the whole race with her cowboy boots. But what the good news is God is so faithful that she was so far behind The whole crowd took the wrong turn because the guys in front missed the corner, and they all went the wrong way. And she was so far behind, she didn't see that. And she came and she saw the right way, and she won the race. So he says, put aside all your cowboy boots. Throw them off, everything that hinders, all the sin, all the gunk. 15, he says, but solid food, Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food is for the mature. He's talking about the Bible, the Word of God. And by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good and evil. By constant use, you train yourself. You are taught. You are training yourself. You are laying aside. You are doing something in these verses with this old man, this old life. He says in 1 Timothy 4:7, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. Train yourselves. 1 Peter 2:1, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. These are things we got to get rid of and take off if you're using clothing language. Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. He said, why would Paul write those to Christians? Because that's how we are. Just be honest. And he says, put it off. Lay it aside. Get rid of it. 1 Peter 5:9, there's tons of verses about resisting the devil. James 4:7, resist. So I think we get the point. There's some stuff that we should leave in last year. There's some things that we should lay aside and not carry with us and not allowed to just hang on us and weigh us down. I'm not talking about our salvation, losing it or something. You know, he talks about you who are holy, you who know God. 2 Peter 1 verse 5, he says, add to your faith. He's talking to those who are men and women of faith. He says, add to your faith perseverance, kindness. You know, add these things to your faith. So we have settled in our hearts that we love God. Amen? I trust everyone in this room this morning, you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't, this morning, he's welcoming you. He's offering to you a new life. So we start from there. I'm not talking about works. I'm not talking about struggling hard to earn some kind of merit with God. We have that. He offers that to us. But now Paul says, because of that, therefore, clothe yourself with these things. And I want to talk about five or six of them that are in this verse. Is that okay? And it doesn't matter if it's okay because I'm going to do it anyhow. He says, put on. And Peter says it in 2 Peter. He says, add to your faith. But in Colossians, Paul says it this way. He says, put on, clothe yourself. First of all, with compassion. And I've got some sweet illustrations here this morning that is going to help you to remember this powerful sermon for the rest of your life. So, first of all, compassion. I don't know why a scarf. I couldn't think of too many things to, because if I start too big, I'm not going to be able to fit it all on. Starts with compassion. The definition is up there. A feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune. Accompanied, this is the important part, by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. It's more than pity. Compassion includes action. You do something. Compassion, pity is just like, oh, shame, man. Sorry, I feel terrible for you. Compassion sees a need, but then there's this acute desire to fix that, to solve that, to go to Azerbaijan and be a grandparent, to see a need in the world, to see something around you, to act, not just like see a need and do nothing. Compassion causes us to act and do things for people. So I was thinking about compassion, people who have shown compassion to me, and there's many, but there's one that sticks out in my mind, and his name was Bob Taylor, and he used to pastor in Spruce Grove years ago. When, you know, some of you heard my testimony when we weren't sent back to Tanzania, and it was a really dark season in our life. We basically were fired, and when you're young and you have three kids, and I shared a little bit about it on Thursday night again, and you're kind of sitting there, and it's dark, this darkness that you're talking about, and it's minus 30, and I was, you know, given notice that as of December, this was December 17th or 18th, December 31st is the last paycheck. And the 3 or 4 months that you've been here in Canada, those were your 3 or 4 months of notice. You just didn't know it, but those were the 3 or 4 months. And as of the 31st, you're done. And I'm getting this message, and I'm looking, I'm seeing Nicole, Kyle, and Melanie just boop, 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 three tiny kids. And I just built a brand new house out by Entwistle, and we have a mortgage, first time in my whole life. And I'm 35, and I speak Swahili, and I think I got a great future in Tanzania. And you get the news, you are not being sent back. We don't have the funds, and we are cutting back. And the truth was that there was funds, and they didn't cut back because they sent out more people after. It was just me who was cut back. You know when you have one of those days? And I'm sitting there, and I said to the Lord, hey, we're not making any major decisions until the sun shines. I cannot make a decision, a good decision, in minus 40, and it's pitch black. But it was a dark time. It was a hard time. And we were like, it was like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like you'd just been whacked in the head with a 2x6. Like, how do you, I'm like, I don't know anything else. I thought I was, this is what God called me to. It's like, it's hard to explain it even until you had the everything ripped out from under you. Get a message from a doctor. You're going to die of cancer. I don't know how to explain the feeling sitting there with my kids looking at me and I and my wife. And there was one man. His name was Bob Taylor. And we went to a church. I don't even remember the circumstances. And we're sharing. We didn't talk about it because we didn't even know how to talk. What do you say to people? I can talk about it here this morning because it's 40 years of history between now and then almost. But it's like his words to us were, Leonard, Lori, what can we do to get you back to Africa? You don't know what that did for me. You don't know what that healed in my heart. That it was like God was speaking through this compassionate guy. And he was actually in a position to do something. And he didn't just go, oh, shame, because I had hundreds of those friends. Bless their hearts. And he said, okay, this is what we're going to do. And he came up with a plan. He became our board member of our ministry, which is called Help International at that time. And if you've ever tried to raise funds to do something for God, if you've ever tried to promote yourself, you've ever tried to say, you know, I'm actually quite good at being a missionary, you know, you would appreciate when someone comes along and says, what can we do to help you? This is what we're going to do. I'm telling you, our life turned around because of one man. With compassion. Put on compassion. My prayer. Sheesh, I'm getting emotional here with this old scarf hanging on my neck. My prayer is we would be compassionate. We are saved. Thank God we're saved. He's delivered us. Am I holy, holy, with no mistakes? No, but Jesus lives in me. But he says, clothe yourself. Put on compassion. I can do that. I can see a need and I can do something about it. Not just talk about it. I can pray, yes. I can bless, but we can do something. We can help people. And it doesn't have to be as dramatic as help them get back to Africa, but maybe it is. But maybe it's just to move, or maybe it's to feed a child, or maybe it's to provide some medicine. I don't know, something. May God fill our hearts with compassion. And Paul says, put it on. Now you're thinking, because I've got 7 points, this is going to be a long day, but let me move along. What's the second one? He says, kindness. Friendly feeling, liking, kind act. Well, here's my, help me there, my trusty assistant. Here's my kindness clothing. Come on. You're going to forget everything I said, but you're going to remember this. I put this on because the kindest person I know in this church is Selma Reish, sitting over here. For my entire married life, we dated for 4 years before we were married, Selma has been one of the kindest ladies I've ever known. Kind, kind. You better receive it this morning. It's hard to talk about people while they're sitting right here. Kind. Just kind. And kindness also includes doing something. But I put this on because it reminded me of you. If there was anybody, Selma, who made me 7 million sandwiches when I was in Bible school starving, you thought I was just coming to date your daughter, but it was the sandwiches that was keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire and Selma's sandwiches that are keeping me alive. A kindness. There's other people I could name. A couple that come to mind are Dennis and Annie, an East Indian couple in South Africa. Just kind, kind to a fault, kindly. And Paul says, put on kindness. Yeah, you love Jesus, but are you nice? Am I nice? Am I willing to be kind? Am I willing to serve someone? Am I willing to just show kindness, to be nice? This is to remind us to be nice. Every opportunity you get. The reason Paul has to tell us these things is because it's hard. You know, he says, therefore, because, you know, you've been saved and Jesus is in you and you've been risen from the dead and you've put off the old man, he says, then clothe yourself, put on these garments, put on these. Uh-oh. I just saw a flash of a camera. That's going to be dangerous. Someone like Dennis and Annie, you got to understand the culture of South Africa and the history and so on. Just so kind. Just kind. Selma, you are a kind lady. Never stop being kind. Even when no one understands, and your grandchildren sometimes don't understand, and they don't get what you're saying. You're an old generation. You're just be yourself. You be kind. You serve God full on. Imagine if we had a whole church full of kind people. God, help me to be kind this year. Amen? Will you receive that? Clothe yourself with kindness. Put over your salvation. You know, we talk about helmets and armor, and it's all a great picture of war and so on. But this is different. This is compassion. This is kindness. It's a nice guy. He wears an apron sometimes. He helps his wife. Hey, I could go all day on that one. Humility. Put up the next one. Give me the next one. I'm going to be sweating by the time this is done. I put a flannel shirt. You can read the definitions. I'll have to save some time here. The quality or condition of being humble, modest, opinion of your or estimate of one's own importance, rank, being honest about oneself. It's about being honest about who you are. I put the flannel shirt on because there's many, 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 many humble people that I know. But if I name them, it's kind of like celibacy. Once you know you have the gift, it disappears. But that's a joke. I don't have either of those gifts. It's just dry in here. I've been fighting colds and flus since Christmas. All you people gave me all your sicknesses. No, it's just dry in here. But I wore this shirt because this reminds me of one of the humblest guys I know from Drayton Valley. His name was Roy Floden. Sorry for naming people, but the Bible names people. He names the good ones and he names the bad ones. Roy Floden and his wife, Edith, again in that same time when we were battling about Africa and Bob Taylor came along and changed our life because of his compassion, there was a couple, Roy and Edith, also from Drayton Valley, and I've shared this testimony before. The quietest, humblest, you know, the condition, modest opinion or estimation of one's own importance, rank. If you met them, you would just see this sort of oil patch guy with a big buckle and a flannel shirt. But he's one of the most amazing businessmen. He loses more money in a deal than I have dreamt of my whole life. And then he recovered in another deal. And but you'd never guess it. Just humble, willing to serve, willing to do whatever. I've used the example of some of the guys, and I'm not going to name them, down east who, when he retired from driving the bus, the city bus, the mayor and everybody on that line surprised him on his last day of work by showing up on his bus. And he was named, I think, the happiest, the nicest bus driver of the city or something. And they celebrated this guy's life because he was just a humble man who did what God had called him to do with a joy in his life and serving people and living that out in a way that just attracted the whole entire city, a bus driver. I know another guy in Winnipeg. You know, there's a lot of Germans, Mennonites there. He's a wealthy guy. If I name some of these guys, you probably know their names. And not that wealth is the only measure of success in life, but it is one. He had business. He's doing things. But every Sunday, he would put on regular clothes. He would drive one of the Sunday school buses, and he'd take the route to some of the poorest areas of Winnipeg. And if you've ever spent time in Winnipeg, you know what I mean. And they'd literally have to stop at homes, go into the home, find the kids among some of the worst situations you could see, put their clothes on, get them in the bus. And here's a guy who's a multi-millionaire business guy, humbly serving God, doing it. And Paul says, put on humility. Can we do that this year? Could you just lay aside any airs, any expectations, any pride, any self-protection, any, yeah, well, what's in it for me? What are people going to think? You know, what about me? What about mine? Just lay it aside and walk in humility. Say, God, how can you use my life today? Whatever you've got. We've all got something. And I've shared that before. God levels the playing field when it comes to this stuff. We all can be generous. We all can be kind. We all can serve. We all can show compassion. Some of the greatest gifts to me were bottles of milk. And I've shared that testimony before. It wasn't big stuff. One of the times that God spoke the loudest to me was in a church service when people brought, and I didn't know it, they put 4 liters of milk, two of those big 4-liter things in a bag at the back of the church. And we didn't have milk at home, and we were walking out of there. We didn't even, till this day, I don't know who did it, and we picked up the milk, and we were jumping and singing with our kids. God provided milk. If God can provide milk, he can do anything. Sometimes it's just the humblest, quietest, compassionate, kindest gifts that speak the loudest into people's lives. And we all can do that. What's another one? Humble, next. Gentleness, amiable, not severe, rough or violent, mild, meek. I forget what I think it's gloves. Quickly assistant. I have to be gentle when I say that. Thank you, assistant. Gentle. I'm going to use Russell because he's not here. There's many of you in this room I could talk. I put these on because you're gentle. You're iron fist with a velvet glove. That's God. That's power under control. That he's gentle. But if I think of an example, it's Russell. Do you agree with me? Yeah. Or is he just gentle with me because I pay him? No. He actually pays me. He's gentle. I watch him with people. And I've got on his case, and his response is gentle. And I'm like, man, when I grow up someday, I want to be like Russell. Gentleness. Jesus was, like, all of these things is what Jesus gives us. So I'll get there at the end. But could you be a little more gentle this year? Could you ask God to help you to be gentle with people? And we've all read the memes and the Facebook pages and the stuff. Everybody's dealing with stuff. We all have issues. We all have stuff and battles and areas in our lives, and we all could use a little gentleness. Is that okay? Could we just be gentle with each other? Could we be kind? Could we come with a word? Could we come with a hand laid on and said, you know, it's okay. It's okay. You're going to make it. Your word this morning as a grandfather is a good word. It's okay. This year's maybe not as, you know, maybe you're looking ahead and you're thinking, am I going to finish school? Am I going to get married? You know, just relax. It's going to work out. It's going to work out. God's faithful. The promises he gave you, we can trust him. Let's be gentle. So he says, clothe yourself with gentleness. What's the next one? Patience. Oh, my favorite one. This one I have, now my nothing works on my pad here. Patience. Okay, read the definition while I dress again. I'm getting there. You know the two people in this room that I put on my sermon list is you, Shelley, and you, Suzanne. And the reason I put a hat on is that you need to have your minds. To be patient, you need to cover your mind and be willing to make some choices. And the reason I chose you two is I watch you and hear you talk about your kids. I hear your cry for them. I hear your passion for them. But the patience and the love to just patiently, quiet, steady perseverance, even tempered care, diligence, able to bear provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint or loss or temper, irritation, or the like. When I see you stand here week after week after week, praying for your children, praying for your circumstances, and I could name others, so forgive me for just naming you, but those you two ladies came to mind when I thought of a patience, a quiet waiting. Trust God. Have patience. He says, clothe yourself with patience. And for me, I got to cover my mind. My mind is not patient. My mind has already moved into 2020, and I'm saying, you know, what's the plan, God? And he's saying, today is sufficient. Today. Trust me today. Walk with me today. Believe God for your children today. It's enough. Just patience, patience, patience. Do you have it? Can you ask God to, the trick in all of these, if you go back to the verse, we won't, but he says, clothe yourselves. This isn't something God does. He's working from the inside out. He's the one who gives us grace, and grace is the power to do it. So trust me, God is working. Without him, it's just self-improvement. Without him, it's just sweat and effort and, oh, okay, I'll try a little harder. With God working through us. But then he says, clothe yourself. This is something we choose to put on. I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be kind. The old Leonard is dead. How many times have I preached that to you? Hey, but he's dying. He's shrinking. I'm getting rid of him. And day by day, I'm being renewed. My mind, and I'm clothing myself. I am better than I was last year at serving God, at having patience with myself, having patience with kids, having patience with my wife. To have patience, to just have that quiet dignity to wait. What's another one? In the middle of the verse, and he doesn't say clothe yourself with this, but he says forgive, bear with one another, the act of enduring or the capacity to endure. So while we're clothing all our stuff, and we're going to get to this last one. Oh, it is on there. The act of enduring or the capacity to endure. He kind of just throws that in there because in order for you and me to end the... Endelea. Why does Swahili come in? Ili sisi tunaweza kuendelea kuwa na hali hii ya kiroho. The reason we can continue to go along with this and show kindness and show patience and to be gentle and to be compassionate, the only reason we can do that is if we're willing to forgive one another. Because to be honest, you don't deserve my compassion. Come on. And I don't deserve yours. Man, I will mess you up this year. I will offend you. You will offend me. You will do something and I'll be like, that guy, I am tired of that guy. And you'll be looking at me and we'll both be looking at each other. We need forgiveness. We need forbearance. We need to bear with one another. Bear one another up. Carry one another. Capacity to endure. Okay, I'm going to get through this. It's not exactly fun right now, but I'm going to get through this. And I'm going to forgive and you're going to forgive. And we're going to get back to this patient, humble, good, compassionate life with each other. Amen? And we need to throw forgiveness in there. In any of these lists that you read, you'll see that we need to be able to forgive one another and help one another and care for one another. And then the last one, he says, overall, put on love. Love binds everything together in perfect harmony. This is the verse. Love covers a multitude of sins. He's talking about agape love, unconditional love. That's the word he used there. This is the love that we need, an unconditional love. Matthew, my trusty assistant, one more clothing. Help me here. Help me put it on, please. It's like Jesus comes and he clothes us. Help me. Your coats are too big for me these days. Thank you, my son. You are a faithful son. And he said, over all of these, he says, put on love. Covers it all. Cover yourself with love. So here I am. This is the new Leonard. This is the new look for 2017. Do you like it? Get those cameras out of here. Who would just love a hug from Father Leonard? No. I'm sweating. We need to love one another. And he says, close yourself with love. I need Christ's love to cover me, to cover my life, to cover my sin, to cover my weakness, in order that I can love you. And the same with you. And if we would clothe ourselves with these things. Imagine what a church would look like.